Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 281, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 3. Today is Sunday, March 3rd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Another person came and someone told them, I really get a witness in my spirit that you should go to school. Well, I says, how did you take that? As an insult? Or what did they mean? That you were so dumb or what? I don't know how many people have tried to send me to Africa. I have a big tape ministry over there. You know, the Lord spoke to me about you going to Africa? Yeah. But I don't know what this means. You were in sort of a jungle gym outfit, the little, you know, the jungle gym hat and the short sleeves, a little whistle that hangs down in the pocket here. I don't know what the whistle's for. A little whistle in there, and the long socks and the brown shoes and the short pants. He says, I'll believe you if you can tell me what kind of bug spray was in that dream. Now he says, God has never told me to go to Africa. And when he does, then maybe you'll come along, you'll be able to confirm it. But I'm not going. Better check out their lives and their motives for sending you. Have they fully received the promise? Are they free? Or are they just acting spiritual? I wonder how many people there are that just act spiritual. To hide their Ishmael flesh. To some degree, we all do that when we try to cover up. Not that we shouldn't try to cover up sometimes. And so back to Galatians 4:30, cast out the bondwoman and her son, For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with a son, even my son Isaac. Even as this parting may be very grievous, and it is when you're born again. Isn't it grievous to leave friends and grievous to leave old ways? It grieves you. Someone wants you to go, to a party or something. You just got born again, and someone wants you to do this or do that, and you see everybody go on. It's grievous. But even as the parting, I said, may be very grievous, it will be according to divine will. And according to the necessities of the case, it must be so. Listen, oil and water will not mix. Neither will the natural man's religion agree with that which is born of the promise and sustained, kept alive by the promise. Because their parting will only be the outward result of a serious difference which has always existed. Ishmael was sent away. But you know, after he was sent away, very, very soon he ceased to regret it. He might have cried for a little while, but oh. You know what happened? He found a greater freedom with the wild tribes of the country among those whom he was thrown to, and he became a great man. Bible says he prospered much and became the father of princes. He was in his own place. There it says he had honor among men. And I think there's a lot of Ishmaels that are sitting in the house of God today. They look good and they keep the law and they get a name as a person of God, but they are all bound up. And you know what's happening when you're all bound up? You're bound to fall. And I believe when that final test comes, all the law they have preached, they will reap back to themselves. And without grace, of course, they will fall. And they'll head for a place, let's call it Goatsville. Even the Bible says, even almost the elect will be fooled. But often it happens that the carnally religious man has many excellent habits and ways about him. And having a desire to sort of, let's say, shine, he goes into society and is appreciated and becomes at times notable. And the world, it says, is sure to love its own. Now you see some of these Ishmaels, and the world loves them. They'll go over to their side. Maybe they're even a religious leader. And the world will set infraction against. And I think that is a test of the people of grace and the people of the law. And the saved and the unsaved. And so this aspiring religionist, let's call him, usually leaves his friends flat. No notice, no warning, and openly declares, I have given up being a fanatic because I have never ever really lived. Because it is too old-fashioned. I got to be moving on and I got to be moving up because I have outgrown this group. The Bible says this he does and he has its own reward. Ishmael had his portion in life and he never expressed a desire to share it in the heavenly covenant, none whatsoever. Had no desire to follow after that. And its mysterious blessings, let's call them. If you're listening to me on the radio, if you feel more at home in this society than in Church of God, then don't deceive yourself. You're an Ishmael. As your heart is, so are you also. And no measure of forced work, let's call it, can turn Ishmael into Isaac. Or a world person, let's say, into an heir of heaven. And so listen, outwardly, and in this present life, the heir of the promise does not appear to have the best of it a lot of times. Looks like we're getting the short end of the stick, but we shouldn't expect it, since we who have chosen this heritage, talking about this heritage in the future, I think, in fact, we have agreed to accept the trial in the present. We are asking for trouble. You'll even be called, they'll call good evil, evil good in the end. You will even be called a troublemaker. I think you accept trials in the present when you receive the covenant of grace and Isaac's portion when you receive that to yourself. Then you're receiving also the trials that'll go along with it right now. Isaac, I'm saying, had afflictions that Ishmael never knew. He was mocked and he was at last laid upon an altar. But Ishmael had none of this. And so you that are called according to the promise, it's like you're called according to the promise. Never envy those who are heirs of this present life and everything seems to be going their way. Though their lot, let's say, seems easier than your own, and the temptation will be for you to say that. Well, golly, I mean, they don't suffer at all. I mean, they got it easy. All they do is go to church and quote a little liturgy and leave. And all they do is just, they don't have nothing to worry about. They just go to church and leave church and then they go home. But what do they do when they go home? They die there? What is there but serving Jesus Christ? Well, they won't understand that, see? Because they're in that Ishmael station. No, they can't understand Isaac's fondness for the divine life and for doing those things which the Lord might put on him. But it is a temptation to kind of admire him once in a while. Gee, they haven't got it bad. They can do this and that, and they don't even feel bad about it. Just like in the Psalms, the psalmist was grieved at the prosperity of the wicked. I think this fretting in some measure, I think it lessens our belief in the promise. So I have to say something right now before I close up on this. Hold it right here. I think before we go any further, have we not agreed to take our spiritual choice? Haven't you already agreed? Haven't you already chosen that road? You haven't got nothing to bark about. God told you what was going to happen. In this world, you will have persecution. It won't be without trials, and it won't be without tribulations. And you'll be hated in the house of your friends. And even in your old family, they won't want you. Now, after all, have we not agreed to take our part in the future rather than in the present? Maybe you just won't fit in. See, you're living in a future tense. You're here now. You're in this world, but you're not of it. So you're experiencing a future tense while you're in the present. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ in me. I die daily. What for? I live unto Christ. What for? I press forward towards the high mark to calling in Christ. I pick up the plow and I don't lay it down. Why? You're not living in this present evil world. You're in it, but not of it. You are, the Bible says, a very peculiar people. Do you go back on your bargain? Do you tell when you go in the army? Maybe they do nowadays. They didn't years ago. Do you go back? You made a bargain. You looked at a sign and Uncle Sam's finger was pointing out. There says, I want you. And you looked at that sign, well, it must be me. I remember that. I went down and seen the halls of Montezuma and Corregidor. Boy, I thought, I'm going in. It's my duty. And I bargained. Could I go back on that bargain?
Golly, I didn't know they were going to be shooting and stuff. No way, I'm not going in there, Sarge. No way.
You want to go back on your bargain? How many G-U-T-Z's have you got? I remember telling a guy one time, I said, now listen, you're always on my case. Tell you what, tomorrow if I'm going to see you, bring a gun down to shoot me or just don't come in here because I want you to get it out of the way one way or t'other. That's the way I feel about serving Jesus Christ. That's how I feel about the work I'm doing. Either shoot me in the head or shut your mouth. But for gosh sake, show some kind of guts. Why not? What do you got to lose? For me to be with Christ is gain, but it's better that I be here. I'm caught twixt the two. It's not a game for cowards. Is it? No, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. Because in the end, when they put that number, now you're already getting ready for this now. Put that number, you know, when you take your groceries and they run that little thing across there? Well, you'll just have that inside of your skin. They'll run your hand across there. You will or you won't. You'll be saying no. You can have all that, but give me Jesus Christ. You say, okay, have him. Bam. In this world, you will suffer persecution. Yeah, either there or on your forehead. I remember years ago, I had a message that was called, Are You Ready? And there was a lot of people there, and the seats just started shaking and vibrating. And are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Are you ready? Yes, we're ready. You remember that message? Well, are you ready? Besides, isn't it absurd to envy those who are themselves so much to be pitied? Are you hearing this? Isn't it absurd to envy those who are themselves so much to be pitied? Because to lose the promise would be to lose everything. And I believe the self-righteous have lost it. The worldly, I'm talking about professors, have no light and have desire for none. What a loss to be in the dark and not know it. See, they have enough religion to make them comfortable in their own consciousness and respectable among men. But oh, what a sorry gain that is. If they are abominable, let's say, in the sight of God. They feel no inward fightings and no inward wrestlings. They find no contention between the old man and the new. Oh, what a wretched feeling.
to have no feeling of conviction from God. Oh, I'm glad when I get convicted. I know God is doing something. What a wretched feeling to not be dedicated to a body, but just sort of wander around from one praise group to the next. What a wretched feeling that must be. Oh, God, can I ever for that imagine myself being into that? No, I've left it. I'm so far behind. I mean, it's way behind me. And good riddance too. Good riddance too. To be caught in a group where continual testimony is about receiving gifts unto thyself. What a miserable portion. What a wretched feeling to leave a battle a coward and find out that 3 months down the line the enemy was defeated by the people who lived and acted on a promise. Again, I say, do not envy them. Your light affliction is but for a moment, your L-I-G-H-T, your light affliction. Theirs is total darkness. Leave the battle, right in the middle of the battle, right in the heat of the battle, and leave. Don't envy them. I think better by far is the life of Isaac with his sacrifice than that of Ishmael with its sovereignty and its wild, wild freedom. Because all of the worldling's freedom will soon be ended. This old world isn't long. And even the natural man knows that. We're bristling for war right now. Flags are flying in the Gulf. U.S. going one way and Russia going the other. Waiting for an excuse. One plane coming on the screen, I don't care if it's 200 miles away. Traveling at 2,000 miles an hour doesn't take a long time to get there. Who are you? And what are you doing? You aren't going to see that thing on that screen very. If he doesn't answer like now and turn that plane around, you're not going to see that blip on that screen. We are this close to war. Don't envy it. Don't envy people. Don't get into vain discussions about the Word of God. All the worldling's greatness is soon going to come to an end. Leave nothing behind it but that which will be more miserable. And yet, don't think we're to be an unhappy lot. God's promise is this, gives us a great light that reveals. It reveals great joy, and it reveals a greater peace. My peace I give unto you. Which is a grown-up joy. Isn't that joyful to have a peace, a joy that's grown up, a peace and quiet
and serenity in the midst of all this confusion and arguing and debate and envy and worldliness and hatred and contention and arguing over who is the greatest? Who cares? I know in whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that He is able to keep me under that hour. You go ahead and point to the very worst picture that you possibly can, with no comforts. Paint that kind of picture for me. And the worse I think you can paint, the better. You'll have no comparison. Because God says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart conceived the wonderful, beautiful things God has in store for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And the very, very gift of it all is, in the midst of all this, you have peace. Hey, Ishmael, if you're listening on the radio, maybe you're sitting on your camel right now, I don't know. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Yes, it's ours to take up the cross and to be strangers and foreigners with God in this land, the Bible says, as our fathers were. For the Bible says, the promise, though it seems far off to others, we do by faith realize it even now and embrace it, and we find a revelation of heaven right down here, right in our hearts. Yeah, you take the whole world, but you give me Jesus Christ. No Ishmaels are ever going to enter heaven. None that claim that by their own works that they will make heaven will ever make it. Bible says glory is reserved for those who are saved by grace, and none who trust in themselves can ever enter in. Oh, what a terrible thing it will be when those who labor to establish their own righteousness and prove it by putting someone else under would not, it says in the Bible, submit to the righteousness of Christ. It says they shall be driven out. Then who will envy who? Those that are denying the finished work of Christ and His blood. Those who left the gift, it says, preferring their own righteousness to that of the Son of God. No, and I'll say it again, Ishmaels and Isaacs can never agree. And I'll lock this up now. I believe also we cannot be saved in part by self and in part by the promise of God. Always, I believe right now we should be preaching, preachers, if you're listening to me, tell people to completely dispel the thought of earning salvation. There is no earning it. Every degree and form of it must be cast out, because resting partly on grace and partly on the law won't work. It can't be half and half. Cease from trying to unite two principles. It'll never work. Like fire and water. The Bible says the promise, and the promise alone, must be the foundation of our hope. And so the Bible also says salvation is by grace, period. You must not begin by the Spirit and hope to be made perfect in the flesh. And there's so much of that going on. And so we can't sow with mixed seed. The Old Testament, it talks about wool and linen. You can't mix the two. And so it is unlawful for us to mix mercy and merit. Or when, let's say, feelings or ceremonies come, we must cast it out without delay, even though it's as dear to us as Ishmael must have been to Abraham. Faith is not by sight. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you hear. Sometimes people say things out of a reaction. They just react at certain words and react at certain conditions. I don't think we should ever forget the difference, lest we fall, I think, into sort of a horrible error and miss the heritage which belongs to the heirs according to the promise. Let me finish with the scripture here, Galatians 2 and 16. Let this be our confession. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, Galatians 2 and 16. And so here is a very, very clear picture of salvation. We freely receive by a promise. Even so it says in Romans 11, 5 and 6, even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Hear that word election. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But it is, and listen to this, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix them. You can't call work grace, and you can't call grace work. But when you have the grace of God, the fruit of the Spirit puts that work in you, and you work out your own salvation. Fear and trembling. But still, by the grace of God. What a neat message. There's none other that you can preach. None. Even with a sore toe. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Such a simple thing to do. Listening on the radio, it says, the word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach, and how will they know unless the preacher comes, it says a little later on. That if you confess with your mouth, now the word is already in your mouth and in your heart, and God put it there before the foundation of the world was even founded. He says, now I put it in there, will you say it? And he says, even if you are stubborn, I will give you enough repentance to say it. Because God is the God of repentance. See, God repents. You don't. God repents. Isn't that wild? You don't even repent. God is the God of repentance. God repents. But he'll never repent of saving you once and forever and for always. He isn't sorry for doing that. He doesn't contradict himself. But he gives you enough repentance to say, just like you have your little baby, and you say, Dada, and he says, Dada, and that's it. And it's the same way you do with your Heavenly Father. Bible says you must be born again. If you're listening on the radio, that's a simple message. Don't get caught. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. I've seen this and so on, hear that on the radio and TV and the papers and so on. Hasn't got a thing to do with that at all. Nothing. Are you born again, hon? You on the radio, are you born again? Well, just to say I'm a sinner, and I know I can't make it by myself, come into my heart and save me. That's a simple gospel message, isn't it? And oh, how real that message is going to become when the bombs start to fly. Then people are going to be on their knees, aren't they? Oh, God, I'm a sinner! Help! It isn't real until action starts, is it? You don't appreciate what we have a lot of times as Christians until someone takes it away. You cannot come to church anymore. Oh, I don't care. I didn't go anyway. You can't watch TV anymore. We're going to have that cable that goes into your house. Well, it'll have a little electric eye in there, a little sensory system, and we'll know what you're doing in there. Yeah?
in there. Show yourself.
You're looking around. You're trying to change your clothes in the restroom or something. Where'd that come from? That come from the boob tube. They can even right now monitor every conversation that's going on in the world. Every one of them at the same time. Isn't that kind of spooky? Everything you say can be monitored and recorded. Everything everybody says at the same time, every word. Talk about heavy spy system. Woo! Now, I'm not trying to freak you out. That's just the way it is, though. Technological advances, they call them. You are going to lose freedom after freedom with those technological advances. I'm telling you, the screws are being put to people. Screws on your jobs. Airplane manufacturers, buying airplane manufacturers out. This and so on like that, and you get in on an airplane, you don't know who owns that airline. And they'll just keep buying them up until it's just one airline. And then your fares will not be like they are. There will be no more cut rate fares. Where are you going? How long are you going to be there? What motel are you going to stay in? What are you going to do when you're there? Because there'll be so many spies, everybody will be fair game. In Russia, United States, Japan, China, I mean, all over. There is a spirit of fear all over. Mother against daughter, father against son, and so on and so on. And that's the way it's going to be. And isn't that going to be lovely? Then we'll appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ and we'll have to go on the promise. Because there ain't going to be nothing else. There really isn't now, you know. But there for sure will be very evident then. There'll be nothing to go on but the promise. I'm glad it's coming! Aren't you? I am glad it's coming. Get this toe fixed. Yeah, see, you got to have a little bit of humor when it's coming. Why not? Why not? Is there anything that terrible in your life? You can't. Oh, this is, I don't know if I'll ever live through this. You'll live through it. You're a survivor, kiddo. You are a survivor. You have the survival kit right with you, the promise of God. Pull it out. It's the word of God, the promise. All we're going to have in the end. And everybody's running around, turning into beasts. Huh? Is there anything else? Everybody's fair game now, aren't they? From the politician to the church to the individual. Everything, it's open season now. This is your life. Your life on the front page. It could be any one of us. How'd you like to be the bakers right now? I heard again, oh, I deserve it. On the other hand, how would you like to be Jerry Falwell? Ooh. Guess who's watching? Ooh. Guess who's watching? doesn't matter to me what men have to say, Paul says. It's what God says. Whew. What does God say? I love you and I forgive you. And the blood has covered, and my love has covered a multitude of sins, and I will remember your trespasses no more. What a wonderful gospel message. Why preach anything else? Is there anyone in here that doesn't want their sins covered by the blood of Jesus? Not I. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight, and I want to thank you for the radio audience. Just ask that you bless now each one that's here tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the promise and for the grace message that's so rich and so full and so free. Glory to God. What a wonderful message in this mixed up, going down, phasing out, reaching the end world. In Jesus' name, amen.
There you have it. That was episode 281, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 3. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1, every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday's message, Promise 4. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy, you may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.